And we reported at 4 o'clock that Escambia County Emergency Management was searching for a sunken fishing boat. A 50-foot recreational fishing boat was sunk about a mile or two outside Pensacola Pass on Saturday. It was near the sunken USS Massachusetts. We now know it is not missing. We spoke with charter captain Andy Ross a little while ago. He says the boat is still there, and he and his crew actually dove the site today. He says it appears the boat hit the Massachusetts and sank.
See, I had the same question when this story came out about this boat just sinking out after the beach Blue Angel show and, you know, running into something. And I'm like, what would it run into? Well, it looks like it ran into the USS Massachusetts. This battleship that was a old battleship that got sunk around World War II. There's all kinds of interesting stories about how it got sunk. Basically, they're using it for target practice is what it seems like. And, you know, it's a little bit too successful. But in any case, it's there, and it's very close to the surface. In fact, I've talked to some people who say that you used to be able to go out and you could basically, there were parts of the structure that were above water, so you could see it very easily. And now it's right at the water because it sunk down a little bit in about 25, 23 feet of water. I'm looking at the NOAA chart for it, and you can see it says USS Massachusetts awash, which means like right at the surface. So it's a interesting fact that this seems to have been the cause of the boat, but I wanted to talk to Robert Turpin. He is the manager for the Marine Resources Division for Escambia County about the implications for like boater safety kind of in connection with all of this, because I think there's a lot to be talked about here. Robert Turpin, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, good to have you. So to me, when I hear about this, The particular issue of the Massachusetts is very interesting, and how people might or might not realize it's there, and how this could have all happened. But it brings up the broader issue of boater safety, doesn't it?
That's right. And Marine Resources Division, I'm the manager of the Marine Resources Division for Escambia County. My mission statement is providing access to safe, healthy, and productive waterways, and safety's first. And that goes for the Gulf of Mexico, our local bays, all the way up into our rivers. And, you know, Lake Stone is a completely enclosed freshwater body here in Escambia County. And we have so many opportunities to enjoy so many diverse waterways in so many ways. I mean, I saw a guy out the other day. He was on a surfboard that was self-propelled. And, you know, it was a hydroplane surfboard. He's literally up above the water by, you know, a couple of feet, you know, just kind of cruising around and enjoying a day. So, you've got people that are swimming, people that are snorkeling, diving, paddleboarding, kayaking, canoeing, sailing, motorboating, you know, jet skis, personal watercraft. There's so many opportunities and so many waterways here, you know, that sometimes the element of safety doesn't really make it to the forefront. But for me, it's absolutely first and foremost whenever I get out on the waterways. So it's unfortunate that that this occasionally happens, and especially for a wreck like the Massachusetts that is so well marked on the charts. You know, the buoy is less intuitive, but, you know, boating safety is really something I think we tend to take for granted sometimes, and I think that's probably the most important thing, that message that I would like to impart to people, is that, you know, Mother Nature can mess with you out there, and you know, there's storms, especially this time of the year. Just be aware of your surroundings and don't take anything for granted.
You know, when I am not I'm not a highly skilled boat operator or anything like that. I mean, you know, here, since living in Pensacola, we've rented a pontoon a couple of times, and fairly recently for one. But what amazed me when I was driving it was the information available on the digital navigator is amazingly detailed to me, you know, depths and where you can and can't go and avoid this. And that's it. And I thought, well, if people would just pay attention to that stuff, it seems like there's so much information that they would be okay. But I assume, in addition to paying attention very actively, they've got to know the different rules that apply, whether you're inside the pass, outside the pass. I mean, it struck me that you could go on the water pretty easily, and that it seems like it'd take a lot more skill than is required to get out on the water. Is that kind of right?
Yeah, and I think sometimes just the magnificence of being out on the water takes our mind away from the safety. And you know, I have to admit, I mean, I'm guilty of it too. I'm motoring around out there and just enjoying the view of a, you know, beautiful sunrise or, you know, a pod of dolphins or something, and it's easy to become distracted, you know, and keeping one's proper lookout, safe speed. All these are rules of the road, and there are actually rules of the road that are established, that were established hundreds of years ago, that are still applicable today. And if you're inside the pass, you are expected to be operating under the inland rules. And if you go outside the pass, past that line of demarcation, you're expected to follow the international rules and their prevention for the prevention of collisions at sea. So you know, those rules are there, but I think a lot of people may not realize that those rules require everyone that's at the helm to be observing, using all available means and operating at a safe speed, which means that you would be able to avoid a last-minute detection of a problem. I've been driving, the boats out there in the Gulf of Mexico, and you're driving along at, you know, 20, 30 miles an hour, you know, go past a line of sargassum, and there was a 55-gallon drum full of hydraulic oil floating literally 2 inches above the surface of the Gulf. And had I not been paying attention, I would have hit it, and
wow,
that could be drastic.
Wow.
You know, so there's all kinds of stuff that's floating around out there that you really have to be paying attention. And there's endangered species. Every year we have sea turtles that we rescue or respond to after they've been hit by boats. And these animals are they have to come to the surface to breathe, and they'll pop up. I've had them pop up, you know, 100 feet in front of the boat, and you really have to be paying attention so that you don't injure or kill one of these endangered species.
Yeah, it's a great reminder to keep your eyes out, always be looking. You can't necessarily trust just because you got it on autopilot, everything's good. And obviously watch the charts, because, you know, something like the Massachusetts is pretty well marked on your charts, you know, and you got to pay attention to that stuff. One of the things that the commission is going to talk about today is the REEF program. All of this money that was donated by Eileen Beard, and is now you're getting ready to actually put the first REEF bits out into the Gulf. Is that right?
That's right. The board is going today. They will consider enacting an ordinance that establishes the Escambia County Memorial Reefs Program. And what that is a way for local citizens to memorialize a loved one. Maybe my sister just passed, so, you know, we're thinking about, you know, how will we memorialize her. And this is a way for the average person to have a reef named after a loved one. So we're going to deploy reefs that are already in the water and have them ready to be named for those deployment costs. So instead of having a reef contractor go out and put out one or two reefs at a time, we're going to pre-deploy probably, you know, 30, maybe 40 of these reefs. They'll be in the water. The deployment costs will be reimbursed by the donors and have the reef named after their loved one.
I love it. It's great. And especially because the donation allows those upfront costs to be put in, so that then it's just replenishment as we go along, and we can continue doing this as long as people are willing to pay, like you say, for the replacement or the replenishment or the donation costs. It's great. I can't wait for that to start happening. The other thing, and this may be a small thing, but for people who are, you know, into using, you know, the boat ramps, you're going to put some better or upgraded video cameras in at Mahogany Mill, Navy Point, and Galvez boat ramps, right?
That's right. At least the first three. We're considering others as well. And what these will allow us to do is to have not only for safety and security, but the real-time images, kind of like the beach cameras. If you want to go to the beach, you pull up the beach cameras and look at the surf, and you say, okay, well, it's a good day today. This will allow you to look at the parking lot and see if there's room at the parking lot as well. So they'll be very useful for the users, the ramp users, to be able to choose if, you know, if it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning in the spring and you say, geez, do I want to go all the way out to Galvez Boat Ramp? If it's full, I don't really have any opportunities this side of Big Lagoon State Park. Or do I go to Navy Point or Mahogany Mill? So this is a way not only to help provide some security cameras for, you know, for the property that's there, but also as a great way for users to choose a boat ramp when they're getting ready to go launch.
I love it. I think it's a great service, and obviously, as you say, it'll help people be able to shop for the right boat ramp that makes sense for them on that particular day, and of course, enhance security. I can't wait to see not just these ones, but ones coming to other boat ramps as well. Robert Turpin, he is the Escambia Marine Resources Manager. Robert, thanks for everything you do. I mean, we've had you on the show a few times, and you're always full of great information from lionfish to everything else, and I'd really appreciate what you do to make our waterways and the things that are in them and under them safe for everybody and for them as well. Thanks for the time this morning.
You bet. And I just want to make sure we thank Eileen Beard for that gracious donation, which allows us to get this Memorial Reef project underway.